থাকবো না থাকবো না আর না শোনা থাকবো
না. It's me, Luke, and this is the latest episode of the reincarnation of the Bristol to Beijing podcast. I'm still trying to think of a better name, so if you've got a name for this new podcast series that is no longer particularly about the Bristol to Beijing cycle ride, then let me know. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen, tune in. And big, big thank you to those of you who have asked some questions and shared some thoughts and given some feedback on the previous podcast episode. Really massively appreciate that. And for the questions that I've been given, I'll be doing my best to answer them in this episode. So without further ado, what are we going to be talking about today? Well, I had quite a few questions about running. I heard on the grapevine that someone got selected for the GB Trail Running Squad. I can't think who that might be, but I had some questions about that. And so I thought I'd make today an episode a little bit about running, because I guess in contrast to, you know, 2-3 years ago when I was doing the cycle ride, obviously at that point cycling was a huge thing in my life, and that has now become a much, much smaller part of my life, but more or less in its place, running has become my main form of activity. Also, I guess as much as I have a little bit of a platform, it's now through running rather than cycling. So it really, in many ways, is sort of a huge part of my life right now. And so I thought it would be, yeah, quite cool to talk about that. Now, I think one thing for me that's important to say is that, well, a lot of people, I guess, who joined and kind of started following during the cycle ride always assumed that, you know, I was a cyclist and cycling was my main sport. Whereas actually for me, running is kind of like, now that I'm running, it's like a return to my roots, because running was really my first sport. It was my first passion. And in some ways, the Bristol to Beijing cycle ride was a bit of a deviation from that. And I've always just loved the motion and feel of running more than cycling. I think something about cycling, being sat down on the saddle for a long period of time, your body's not as free to move. And I think I always tended to take too much tension in my shoulders when I cycled. I'd be gripping the handlebars really hard, particularly when I went uphill. And that would give me, you know, sort of quite tight shoulders. So I think overall, I felt for a long time that running encourages more positive physiological changes in my body, to put it in a slightly sort of obtuse way, than cycling. You know, it forces me to relax my shoulders. It feels a lot sort of freer. And yeah, I don't seem to get too injured too often from running either, which is really great. And I feel very lucky, because I know a lot of very good running friends who have picked up injuries that have stopped them running for long, long periods of time, or they're recurring injuries, so they kind of keep on bouncing in and out of being able to train. So, I thought I'd talk about this Easter weekend that has just been, because to kind of give you a flavour of where I'm at with my running, but then also how this is like a constant process, and I'm sort of constantly kind of, it's such a cliche to say, learning more about myself, but probably getting reminded of certain truisms that I very quickly forget. Particularly things that are like more challenging and more painful. As soon as I finish them, I'm like, oh yeah, that was fine. And then it's really important and valuable to be reminded of how important some things are in running, particularly when it comes to distance, when it comes to fueling, when it comes, I think above all, in my opinion, to like respecting the distance. Anyway, so Easter weekend has just come and gone. I am now back in Bristol with a very fine flat white in front of me that I have made myself. Thank you very much. The latte art in this one was not so good. I had a good attempt this morning. I had quite a nice little sort of ferny thing. This just was a bit more of a blob, unfortunately. Anyway, the coffee's still good, and it's powering me through this episode. So I'm back in Bristol, but this weekend I was up in both Nottingham and the Peak District. In Nottingham, I was visiting my very good friend Lucy Gossage. Lucy, if you're listening, hi. Thank you so much for having me, for feeding me food, coffee, and our different chats. And on the Saturday, we did some filming with Brooks at the Forest Rec Park run with the Move Against Cancer 5K Your Way group. I really want to talk a lot more about 5K Your Way and being physically active when you're going through treatment, or perhaps just more generally when you're going through a pretty shit time in life. I think I will swear on this podcast where I feel it's necessary. So if you're under 18 and that was offensive, I'm sorry. I think most of the listeners are slightly older than that. If you're going through a really rough time in life, I think exercise can also be incredibly powerful. So I think that will be a future episode to talk more about my experience with being physically active, getting through treatment, and then some of the stories of other people that I've met. But suffice to say right now, 5K Your Way, I think, are just doing an awesome group. If you haven't heard of them, they join sort of the park run structure every fourth Saturday of the month, and you do 5K Your Way, whether that's walking, jogging, running, and everyone who's part of the 5K Your Way group is linked with cancer in some way. Maybe it's family, friends, yourself, medical professionals. And it's just an amazing group with positive, really positive, supportive vibes. And they're up and down the country. So you can check them out online. Anyway, so we're doing some filming with Brooks and with me and with Lucy and Lizzie Paddock, who's also a member of 5K Your Way. And the following day, I went up to the Peak District. And the Saturday evening, I'd asked Lucy for a route. And Lucy does a huge amount of walking and running in the peaks and all over the country. She recently finished the Spine Race this January in, I think, third position, third female, pretty close to 100 hours, which is in one of the fastest times ever. Was sleepwalking, you know, through the race, finding that she was sort of, she'd wake up and find that she'd been walking in the wrong direction and looking at her GPS trace and realizing that she was completely spent. And I thought, wow, I already knew Lucy was crazy, but that's pretty next level stuff. Anyway, so the reason that's relevant is because Lucy really knows the Peak District, and I wanted to go for a long run in the Peak District as some training for my up and coming races in the US, which I'll tell you about at the end of the podcast. But I wanted to get a good long run in. And so I asked Lucy if she knew any routes in the Peak District. And of course she said, yes, she did. And I said, oh, you know, like maybe 40 to 50K, something like that. And, you know, most people, if you give them that range, you'll probably end up with something closer to the 40K mark. And I was thinking, you know, I probably want to do about 40K, but I'll say 40 to 50K. But of course, this being Lucy, she immediately found me a route that was bang on 50K with 2,000 meters of climbing. And of course, I could hardly say, actually, Lucy, I was wanting, you know, wanting something a bit more like 40K with a bit less climbing. And, you know, I'm just wanting to have a nice day in the hills. And so I didn't say that to Lucy. And I just said, oh, that's great. That's perfect. 50K, 2,000 meters of climbing. That's exactly what I need. And to be fair, I thought at that point, oh, 50K, I've done 50K before. I've done 50K loads of times. I've done 100K in races. And, you know, that was all right, wasn't it? So I had my 50K route on Easter Sunday. I drove up in the morning to the starting point. I think it's called Owl's Box or something. I can't quite remember where it is. Someone will know and they'll correct me because it's not Owl's Box. But somewhere in the Peak District, quite near to Sheffield. And Lucy had very kindly given me, I'd been very unprepared as usual, and the shops were closed on Sunday morning because it was Easter, so I couldn't buy any cereal bars to take with me. So Lucy very kindly gave me some brownies, some waffles and some trail mix, which turned out to be lifesavers, but also not enough. But thank you so much, Lucy, for giving me some food to begin with, because I was a wally and didn't bring food. Anyway, so I started in the Peak District near what we will call Al's Box, and it was a very misty morning, and I put on my jacket, and I was thinking this is going to be quite an unpleasant start to things. But as soon as I got going, I was running on you know, just lots of grass, lots of trails, which was a really nice change after Almaty. Obviously, I have so much love for Almaty and Kazakhstan, as I think everyone will know by this point. But one of the downsides, and there are truly downsides as well to this wonderful city, is that I did so much of my running on tarmac. And so to spend 50k and barely run at all on tarmac and just be on much softer trails, lots of grass, lots of trail, a fair bit of bog, wasn't much, much kinder in my joints, and was a really good experience as well, because I think you have to work a bit harder, and it just saves your bones a bit as well. So I was trying to go, you know, pretty conservatively. I knew that I had 50k to run, but I also, you know, was feeling good, and I also wanted to push up the hills. And so the first 25k felt great, and I went through that in a bit over 2 hours, and there was quite a lot of climbing, and I was really pushing up those hills, and I was thinking, yeah, you know, 50k isn't that much, is it? Well, you know, pride before a fall and all of that, because the first 25k and the second 25k were slightly different stories. And I guess two things happened in that second 25k, because, spoiler alert, it did not stay that easy and carefree. I think the first thing that happened is that I really wasn't fueling enough. I wasn't eating enough. I ate, I think, a banana in that first 25k, and I ate the first of Lucy's brownies at that 25k mark. Part of the reason for this is because I knew I didn't have loads of food, so I was trying to ration my intake across the entire run, which I did just about manage, but it meant that really from about, I guess, 15k in, I was operating in a bit of an energy deficit, which is never a good idea, and just sort of saps your energy and makes everything feel a lot less enjoyable as well. And, you know, I guess takes away that sort of top 15-20% of your speed. So as I kind of moved from sort of 25k onwards, I really began to go, oh, I do not have enough energy. I do not have enough food. So I started eating more and more of my food. I'd also only brought one water bottle with me because I could only find one. And I thought that would be enough because I'm in the UK and it's going to be miserably cold and it's going to be wet and I'm barely going to need any water anyway. But again, if you're running quite a long distance, then actually taking more than one bottle of water is a good idea. So I had 500 mils with me, and I did manage to fill it up at about the 30k mark, and I sort of, you know, drained it and filled it up again. But that was another thing that really stung. And then the final thing is that the previous day during the park run, I'd sort of set off quite hard and I'd sort of just tweaked my hamstring in a very minor way. But after 25k of running and particularly pushing those uphills, you know, relatively hard, I mean, still below my lactate threshold, so I wasn't pushing ridiculously hard, but I was certainly wanting to test how fast I could go uphill. And then I started to get more and more pain in my hamstring and my right leg. And that really hampered me for the second half. And I guess all of this compounded to make me realize that running a further 25k when you're not on top form, it's not like in a race where you're just really zooming along and you can say, okay, I'm going to get to the finish relatively quickly and I'm still moving well. It was a real slog, and to be honest, it was a real wake-up call that 50 kilometers is quite a long way, and you can't get away with stuff. You can't fake it, and this is kind of what I was taught, the lesson I was taught, and I'm still trying to learn from Le Templier in France. It was an 80k race I did in October. I went into that in great shape, but I hadn't tapered. My body wasn't fresh. And after about 35, 40k, the fatigue in my legs really caught up with me. And not just the fatigue, but just the damage, you know, just the strain on my hamstrings. And I really wasn't able to run properly for the second half of that race. So this was a really good reminder that 2 weeks out from my next race, which is perhaps a little bit too close as a reminder, but 2 weeks out from my first big race of the season, that like the importance of being really fresh, the importance of realizing that 50k, it's a long way to go. It's a lot to put your body through, and you need to be supporting your body with food and water all the way through. Was a really powerful reminder. And I know it sounds like the most basic thing ever, and I'm sure I'm going to have a few people listening to this and being going, Luke, you're just, this is the most basic thing, you're such a wally, you don't need to be telling me this. But at least for me, you know, I do need to tell me this, because it's something that's easy to forget, because you can think, okay, I can just, you know, I can knock out 25k or 30k, you know, without any food on me, without any water. Surely 50 isn't that much further. Well, surprise, it's a lot further. Okay, I think I've talked enough about that now. I just want to say a big thanks to cousin Kira, who was in Sheffield, who I then stayed with afterwards, because I demolished her strawberry and yogurt granola. So thank you so much for having that lying around your kitchen and not being too mad when I ate all of it. Thank you, Kira. Right, so moving on. As a lot of you will know, I got selected for the GB squad for the Mountain and Trail Running European Championships, which is on the 1st of June 2024 in the French town of Annecy. And I mean, for me, this is a huge deal. I kind of want to be like, yeah, this is all cool. You know, of course I'm GB squad. No, like this is like a teenage dream come true. This is something that I never expected would happen. And yeah, I am super chuffed to be part of the squad. And it's a squad with some really fantastic athletes on the in the men's team. There's Tom Evans, who won UTMB CCC a few years ago. He was third in UTMB year before last. He won Western States last year. Was just in the World Cross for challenge, for whatever it is, World Championships of Cross Country, just over the weekend. So quality athlete. Then there's also Thomas Roach, who I believe was the short course world champion for mountain running last year, if memory serves, and has had some really, really brilliant results. I think came sixth in the Golden Trail Series finals. These results are off the top of my head. They might not be correct. Apologies if they're not quite correct, but I'm pretty sure that's about right. So Tom Roach, also absolutely quality athlete. And then Tom Jolly, as you can see, there's a trio of Toms. I should have changed my name to Tom for this race so we could have a team just of Toms. Tom Jolly has also represented GB before, did really well in UTMB last year, came 15th, has won a whole load of other races, and seems to have a huge training schedule as well. So I'm sure he's going to be in fantastic shape. And he also suggested perhaps during the time of the European Championships getting a few of the runners on the podcast. So hopefully we can have a little chat then and I will share it with you. So Tom, if you're listening to this, any of the Toms, if you're listening to this and you're keen, let me know. So we've got a really good team. It's really amazing to be part of this team. And I think I kind of want to take it back a bit to like when I was growing up, you know, I was a good runner. I was even very good. I remember it was one of my things at school that I think the day after the Bristol 10K when I was in sixth form, I kind of walked into school. I can't remember, maybe like 50th or something like that, out of, you know, I guess 10,000 people. Which is, you know, it's a long way from being a GB standard, but you are quite good, or I was quite good. And, you know, the kind of round of applause as I walked into the assembly, and I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. But at the same time, I knew that I was such a long way off the pace of legit GB runners over 5K or 10K. You know, the fastest I've run for 5K is about 15 minutes, just slightly quicker. But, you know, to be a GB 5K runner, you're, as a guy, you know, you're running well under sub 14 minutes. And that's just a totally different league. And it's difficult to articulate just how much better that is than me. Because I think a lot of people might look at me and go, like, Luke is a really good runner. Maybe he's the best runner we know. Well, I am such a long way from these superbly quick runners. And yeah, you know, to put it into perspective, when it get it to like marathon distance, like the speed at which the top GB marathon runners are going, you know, I would still struggle to do that for 5K, and they're doing it for a marathon. So, you know, it is a different level. And so, you know, for a long time I was good at running, but I never seriously expected to be a GB athlete. But I think what I want to pull out of this is how important it is to enjoy the process. And I think this is one of my huge philosophies for life. In whatever you do, I think it's really easy to be focused only on the goal. And that to get, you know, you're so focused on the goal that you put up with a lot of stuff you don't enjoy in order to get to that goal. And then when you get to that goal, you set yourself another challenge. And this might be you know, in work, it might be in sport, it might be in music, it might be in whatever. But for me, what life is all about is the day in, day out process. And like, do you enjoy that? And the goal is important, but only because it sets you on that path of that day in, day out. And that's what I really discovered and was reinforced to me during the Bristol to Beijing cycle ride, is that the goal of Beijing was important, but only in as much as it set me on the journey to do something that was going to make each and every passing day like a really interesting and fulfilling and rich one. Yeah, not every single day, but generally the days were pretty rich, varied and fulfilling. And I think it's the same here with running. Like I run because I love running. It gives me a lot of energy, it gives me focus, it gives me discipline. It makes me this, I think, better version of myself, where I'm happier, more bubbly. You know, I definitely am addicted to the endorphins of running. And as the result of having run quite seriously for maybe 15 years or so now, I'm now a GB athlete, or I've been selected for this GB team. However, I wasn't trying to be a GB athlete for the last 15 years. And I think if I had, I'd have quit running, because I wouldn't have achieved my goal for 15 years. And that would have been really difficult to stomach, right? Year after year, not getting to the point that you want to be. And so for me, this is, I guess, my philosophy of life is that you should be, the thing that you're doing should be worthwhile on any given day, right? You should be, today won't be a waste because I love running itself. But imagine I didn't like running, but I was trying to be a GB athlete. And I'd look at today and I'd go like, oh, I didn't actually enjoy today because I don't actually enjoy running, but maybe it's going to take me to my goal of being a GB athlete, and then it will be worthwhile. And I think that mentality is totally the wrong way around. So for me, it's about, okay, I love running. I'm very, very fortunate to love running, I think, because it's now something that's a lot easier for me. It gives me this headspace, and my body is so used to doing it that not all the time, but very often it feels easy. It feels like I'm sort of gliding along, and, you know, for the second 25K of a 50K run, it feels really tough. And I'm like, God, this is, whew, I'm working hard here. I'm working hard here. It's you're doing something that you enjoy, and that's what makes it worthwhile. And I guess the other kind of conclusion I came to in these sorts of things is you have a whole lifetime, if you're lucky, and I feel very lucky to have had, you know, these last 5-6 years. But if you've got a whole lifetime to get good at something, I think it's much more important to do the thing that you enjoy rather than the thing that you happen to be good at when you were 16, 17, 18. And that's certainly how I feel about, say, biology. I was a really good biology student at school, so I thought I should be a vet or a biologist and do a PhD because that's what I was good at. And what I've realized is that storytelling, filmmaking, writing books, hopefully finishing writing books, is something that I enjoy, and I probably enjoy it a lot more than biology or a lot of aspects of biology. I still really enjoy the sort of mental stimulation of biology and fitting things together and that puzzle, but generally storytelling is something that I really love. But you know, the thing was that as a teenager I thought I was rubbish at it, and I don't think I was very good at it, and that was part of the reason why I wanted to be good at it. And you know what, if you've got like 5-10 years to work at anything, you're going to get to a much higher level than something that you happen to be good at when you're younger, but you don't really care about. So I think, you know, working on filling your life with things that you really care about and are passionate about will get you a lot further in the long run. Anyway, those are my thoughts. Would be super interested to hear if you've got a different take on any of what I've discussed so far. So now I've got a few questions. Thank you to everyone for your questions. So, and these are related to running and the sort of selection for GB. Dasha was asking, is there a difference in your attitude towards racing this year compared with before? Now you're a pro athlete and the member of national team. Is there an extra layer of responsibility? I think that's a great question. Thank you, Dasha. I think it's really important, basically, not to try not to feel that extra pressure or that extra layer of responsibility or a change of attitude. Like, I think more or less how I raced last year is how I always want to race, which is to the first and foremost thing is that I run and I'm doing these trail races because I love it. And I have a lot of joy from being out in nature. And if I start to lose that, then the whole exercise becomes somewhat pointless, because following on from what I was just talking about, I don't see the point of trail running or being outdoors or anything like, well, just anything, if you're not enjoying the process. I'm kind of a bit hedonistic like that. I think the things that you fill your life with should on the whole be enjoyable. It's not to say they're not hard work, and they definitely are hard work, but you should kind of have something inside of you that relishes even that hard work. And so I really want to prioritize that and keep that front and center during this year of racing, even perhaps as a sponsored athlete, even in the European Championships. I still want to run with a smile on my face. I still want to be thinking during the race, my goodness, I am so lucky to be alive. I am so lucky to be running through the mountains in this beautiful place. Hopefully it's going to be nice and sunny, but even if it's misty and rainy, like, how lucky I am to be doing this. And for me, I guess there are two reference points that are so stark when I might start feeling, oh, this is really tough and why am I here and this is, you know, why I don't want to be doing this. And I think one is that I could be in hospital right now. You know, when I was in hospital with chemo, I would have given anything to be in the mountains running and be in that physical condition where I could do that. And I guess, of course, the other thing is I think about John, my brother John, who, you know, like no amount of pain in the mountains is worse than being dead. And so just the sheer fact of being alive is like, okay, that's really, really fucking cool. That's amazing. So, you know, I think when you've got those as two yardsticks, like two reference points, yeah, it's really difficult to sort of think, oh, this isn't really that enjoyable or worthwhile, or like this is too much, too difficult, you know, because things could be so much worse. I think the other thing I wanted to reflect upon on this is that I think it could be tempting to sort of think, okay, I'm a sponsored athlete now, I'm doing these big races, maybe I should just, you know, reinvent my training plan, I should, you know, triple my mileage, I should be, you know, living and breathing running. And actually, I don't feel like that at all. I think what I did last year, it worked pretty well. And yes, there are improvements I can make. And I think getting better at going uphills and getting better at going downhill are two huge things that I want to improve upon. But I think generally the way I train seems to work pretty well. The amount I train is, I think, works pretty well as well. So I don't think there's a need to sort of chuck things out. I kind of feel at this point that a gradual change is, and gradually developing how I train is probably a better approach. So, you know, stick with what works, because I think training is very individual. And it's, I think, also at this higher level, it's also like very personal of what I think some people, some athletes would just love to immerse themselves in training literally for the whole day, every day. And for me, as I think I've mentioned before, running is a huge part of my life, but it's only a part. And it forms a foundation. It gives me energy for the book, for the film, for my tutoring, for my friendships. But I wouldn't want to lose those other bits of my life because I was just running. Okay, we also had a question from Katie Hickling. Thank you, Katie, for your question. Katie says, it would be cool to hear about how you're finding being a sponsored athlete with a long-term health condition and what that entails in terms of racing. So, yeah, I am now almost 6 years on from being diagnosed with stage 4 sarcoma, MPNST, 5 years on since finishing my final bit of treatment, which was radiotherapy on the 15th of February, 2019. And I haven't had any treatment since the 15th of February, 2019. It's something that no one ever expected. I didn't expect, the doctors didn't expect. I think they thought I'd be back in hospital within a few months. That's what we all thought. Since then, I've had scans pretty much every 3-4 months, and I am so thrilled that it's always come back with good news, and it's never a guarantee. And every time I have a scan, I'm like, is this going to turn my life upside down? Because it really could, because it really could come back with bad news. So I think in answer to Katie's question, I was thinking about this, and to me, having this sort of long-term health condition and this awareness that even now my cancer could come back, and I really hope it doesn't, I think the main thing it does for me is it changes my horizons. It gives me this impatience to try and achieve and my goals. And even though, you know, that I've talked about this tension between goals and process and the goals and the journey, but it given me this sort of, you know, impatience to do things generally as quickly as possible, because I don't know how long I've got. And what made me realize this as I was chatting with a really good trail running friend, and he was talking about his sort of like 5-year plan of like working up to these races. And I was thinking, I want to do that this year. Like, I don't want to spend 5 years working up. Like, I might not have 5 years. Like, I'm trying to do this year. And I think that gives, I mean, there might be disadvantages to it, but I also think generally, like, you know, push hard for what you want and to do it as quickly as you can if you're enjoying the process, and then keep on building and building. So I think that's one thing that having a long-term health condition, that's how it's affected me. I've talked a little bit about scans. I also thought I would just talk about how it's taken me in the direction of trail running. I had a operation on my left shoulder to remove the primary tumor. They sort of sliced down my left shoulder blade, peeled it back, and they took out the tumor and also my subscapularis muscle. So they took out this whole muscle, and it's the muscle that kind of brings your shoulder blades together. And it does mean, alongside the radiotherapy, that I have reduced, which kind of causes, reduced mobility in my shoulder. You sort of get kind of fibrous muscles there following radiotherapy. But together, basically, it means I have a slightly weaker left shoulder with less mobility. I can't get my left arm to go as high above my head as my right arm. And that really did push me in the direction away from Ironman triathlon. That was always the sport that I thought I would try and do at a really high level. I did triathlon in the past, but the fact that I was bad at swimming before, and I joke very often that now I've got a good excuse for being bad at swimming. But I guess at the top level, where the margins are fine and the competition is incredibly high, it made it seem much less logical to try and become a professional Ironman triathlete with this handicap of my shoulder. In some ways, that feels like an excuse, and I'd love to give it a go at some point in the future. But that definitely was something that took me down a path of trail running and becoming, I guess, you know, a sponsored trail athlete. KD also asked, so what does it entail in terms of running, being a sponsored athlete? I want to just give a shout out to Brooks, who are my sponsors, that I've always felt that they have been really great in many ways, but in this way of just like never forcing me to do a race or having much expectations on, you know, the races that I do, and letting it come from me. You know, it's not that they don't want me to race, of course, but they allow me to be the driving force behind that. And I really appreciate that I get to say, like, I want to do these races, rather than being told, oh, we want you to do this and this and this, which is really great, because I don't think I would respond very well to being told, oh, you have to do this race, you have to do that race. I think my immediate reaction would be like, but I don't want to, even if it was a race that I actually wanted to do. I think my reaction would just be like, don't tell me what to do. So what I'm saying here is Brooks have been really fantastically supportive, giving me the support where I need it, giving me the flexibility where I need it, and the sort of ability to shape my own path through trail running. And of course, giving me lots of great shoes and lots of great kit. Genuinely love the Catamount Agile. Those are probably my favorite shoe as a trail shoe. They're super lightweight. And yeah, whatever. This isn't an advert. I just like these shoes. And I have run in Brooks shoes since I was like 12. So, and they didn't give me free shoes for the last like 18 years, which is a bit sad. But I have been buying them off eBay for the last 10 years before that. So anyway, moving on, coming to the end of this podcast episode. But to finish, we had a question from Ricky. And I know Ricky because we raced together at the Eco Trail Wicklow 80-kilometer race in Ireland back in September 2022. And Ricky is a quality runner. He was run for Ireland. This race was in Ireland, in the town of Bray, just to the south of Dublin. I think he has also got like the world record for the most elevation in 24 hours. Again, I haven't checked this. Maybe I should for future podcasts, but he's a quality runner. And I remember that we were running together in the first part of that race, and then I was feeling good at 10K and I just kicked on, and I was expecting to be sort of hunted down, and that never happened. But for me, that race was really special because it was the first time where I was like, hey, I might actually genuinely be good at this trail running thing because I'm racing against some really quality athletes and still doing really well. So Ricky, if you're listening to this, thanks for the question, mate. And yeah, hope to see you at a race soon. So Ricky was asking, what races do you have coming up? And so for those of you who are listening, I will just give you a quick overview that in 2 weeks, or less than 2 weeks by the time you listen to this, on the 13th of April, I will be running in Colorado at the UTMB Desert Rats 50K. So this is a relatively flat, it's only 1,000 meters of elevation, full of, I think, single track. I've looked at the GPS and it looks like it wiggles a lot. So I think it's kind of technical in that sense, but it's probably not, I think it's probably quite runnable. So that will be my first race. Then 2 weeks later, I will, on the 27th of April, I will be running the Canyons Endurance 50K in California in the town of Auburn. That was originally going to be 100K, but now that I'm running the European Championships, they said that I can't be running 100K just a month before. So I've knocked that down to 50K, but that should still be a really fun race. And as we learned earlier in this podcast, probably a lot longer than I realized. So I'm trying to remember to respect the distance and do a really good proper taper so I can be fresh and hopefully strong for that race. After the Canyons Endurance in California, I'm going to be seeing a few friends around the US. Then coming back to the UK, possibly thinking of doing the Bristol Half Marathon on the 19th of May. That is obviously a local race that I've done many times over the years. It's got quite a lot of significance for me. I ran it the last time I ran it, as you do, was when I was on chemotherapy. So it would be very special to come back to this race in a very different way. So that is on the 19th of May. And then the sort of final race I'm looking at in the first half of the season is the European Championships, which I've talked about already, which is on the 1st of June. So those are the upcoming races. Then for the rest of the season, I'm looking at possibly doing Marathon du Mont Blanc, but that is only a week before 100 kilometers of Val d'Aran in Andorra, which is a race I'm definitely doing and very excited to do because it looks beautiful. So we will see about that. And then, of course, at the end of the season, or at the end of the summer, I will be working towards a UTMB CCC and hopefully being in a position to go well there. And then we will see. When it comes to the back end of this year, I'm very tempted to try and get out to China, perhaps do a race or two there, and hopefully show my film that was screened at the Kendall Mountain Festival, which was Our Best Foot Forward. Hopefully be able to show that with in partnership with a couple of local organisations. So we will see. That is 43 minutes of me talking non-stop. Thank you so much for bearing with me if you've got to the end. As always, I would love more questions. I would love any feedback that you have. As I said, this is a new format. This is a new way of doing it. I hope that it's kind of useful, it's interesting, and it's something I'm really keen to keep going, but I'd like to make it sort of what you want and better. So yeah, if you've got any feedback, send me a message either on Instagram at Luke G. Shaw, send me a DM or post, or I don't know how else, Facebook, and yeah, maybe through the website you can find out, but probably Instagram is the best way. Okay, well, that is it for this podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time, spending your time to listen to it. I hope you have a great week ahead of you, and goodbye.